That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
There were about a half a dozen of us growing up as kids that were about the same age, and we all loved the game of football and loved to collect football trading cards back in the late 70s. But there was one guy named Sean that collected just a little bit different than the rest of us. He loved the Cleveland Browns and just wanted to get all the team cards from the Cleveland Browns and didn't really care about any of the other cards. But we thought this was kind of crazy, the rest of us, because we were trying to collect the entire NFL and put together all the teams. So Sean was a really easy one to trade with. If you had an extra of a Cleveland Brown, you gave it to him, he'd give you almost anything you wanted to. But we still thought he was nuts. Till now, I look back at it, and we have a gentleman today that is a team collector, one of the other disciplines that we talked about. And Ryan Minnig collects the Pittsburgh Steelers cards and really makes my buddy Sean back from almost over 50 years ago look brilliant. Ryan's up in just a moment to tell us all about team collecting.
Check it out, Pigskin Dispatch video.
Yeah, woohoo!
Hello, my football friends. Darren Hayes here of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome back to our journey of going through some collectibles and connecting with football, helping you to connect and preserve football history. And we have another expert on today. We've been talking about football cards and how to collect them and some different ideas. And one of the aspects, the genres we told you about, was team collecting. And when I think of that, I think of our guest today, who is a super collector of team sports and happens to be my favorite team and the area I live in. His name is Ryan Minnig. Ryan, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Darren. I've never passed up an opportunity to talk about cards, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, most definitely. I guess, Ryan, before we get into your collection, we've talked a little bit about your collection on some other episodes, probably not to the detail that we were going to today of talking about, you know, collecting itself. But I guess, how did you get into collecting football cards and especially getting into team collecting?
Yeah, so when I first started collecting, I would say go back to about 2002, 2003. One of the first cards that I ever remember seeing physically was an Eddie George jersey card from a playoff set back in 2002. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I couldn't believe that they embedded a piece of the jersey in the card. I just felt connected to that specific card and the opportunity to collect cards, just collect moments of the game. So throughout my young life, I was a big pack opener, box opener. My grandma was very influential in that. I was an only grandchild, so I was a little spoiled, maybe. But I'm willing to admit that. And then as I got older, I realized you can piece together those things that you enjoy. You don't just have to chase the odds. You don't have to go into packs and boxes and blasters. So I really tried to refine my focus a little bit and really look into what I wanted to collect, which was the Steelers. So I really started to focus in on certain players and sets. And then that turned into what is now my rookie collection.
Yeah, that's a fantastic segue and way to tell us into that. Your rookie collection, maybe you could explain to listeners who maybe didn't catch that on earlier episodes of what that really is.
Yeah, so when I first started my rookie collection, I would say go back to about 2011. I originally found a list of the 100 greatest Steelers ever. And I know you know, Darren, and all of your listeners do too. Those lists are completely objective. There's no way to say these are the 100 greatest ever. It's everything is subject to change. So later on, I found a list by a now friend of mine on X Twitter. He goes by the handle Subburger. He works for Steelers Depot, and he works on a list for the 500 greatest Steelers ever. So in my mind, I said, well, that should capture everybody, right? And the answer is no. So lo and behold, over 1,600 Steelers in team history, pushing 1,700. So what my goal was to obtain a card, hopefully, of every single one of those players. And turns out that not all of them have a card. So what I then tried to do was put together a collection that included something of every single player. And as of last November, I have a card of over almost 1,200 of the players, and I have an item that features all almost 1,700 players now.
Yeah, it's very fascinating the way you did it. And I love how you pivoted on that a little bit, went from the cards and went into some items. You know, you have like the Coca-Cola bottle caps and other things and memorabilia that have them. So what a great way to tribute these players. And maybe you could explain a little bit about what you do on your Substack to honor these folks.
Yeah. So throughout all my social medias and having a journalism background, I really wanted to try out Substack. So thanks for that recommendation among a few other people that that have that. So what I try to do is honor the history of the Steelers through these cards, through these players, through these items. And this month specifically being February, I've been working on some Black History Month features, working on some of the pioneers of the sport, telling their stories, some of the pioneers with the Steelers, team first, league firsts, but also just trying to connect these cards to points in time and moments in history with these players. And I think one thing, and Bob actually said this in your previous episode, I have a lot of respect for the captain. So what he said was, these are little mementos, little monuments of these players. It's a moment that they'll never be able to take away. They're on a trading card. And I feel that same way. And that's something that I really resonated with. And I feel that these cards really do honor their careers, whether it's one season, 10 seasons, 20 seasons. No matter how much these guys played, I want to try to bring their stories to life. And I think the best way to do that is through cards. So with Substack and Instagram, X, any of the social media accounts, I really just try to tell the stories of these players through their trading cards.
Yeah, I think you do a very similar job to what I was doing. I mean, we discussed a couple episodes ago about, you know, the four main genres of collecting, you know, that being the team like we're talking about tonight, the sets collecting like we talked with Bob the other day, the player collections, which we're going to hopefully have an episode here real quick with an expert, and, you know, and drawing a blank here. Oh, it, you know, investing thing, which is very popular. We'll have an episode on that. But you and I sort of get in that genre where the preservation or maybe even the tribute cards, where you're trying to use that card to as a teaching moment to educate, you know, a group or the public about these players. And I love that idea because that's a lot of fun too.
Well, and it helps whenever you have that team kind of angle on it, because being a Steelers fan, I obviously want to collect my favorite players and the guys I grew up watching. And no shame to all the other teams, but there are so many legends to collect with teams like the Steelers or the Bears, the Packers, those teams that have been around so long. So being able to look at an all-time roster and really hone in on all of these guys and try to figure out all their stories, it can be taxing at times. And I might say that I might be a little bit crazier than some people. In that regard, I don't know if you have to collect everybody to be a team collector, but it is fun to be able to really hone in on that story of team history and tell it through that lens.
Yeah, maybe before I had you come on, maybe I should display a warning symbol. You know, this is extreme collecting. Beware at your own risk. You know,
you don't have to be as crazy as me. If you want to be, I have an all-time roster, but don't think that you have to be that crazy.
Yeah, somewhere there's a, like a New York Giants fan. So, okay, you want to top that? We have more history. I'm going to collect, you know, the 2,000 players or whatever that team would have. So, yeah, I agree. Good idea. But, you know, just what you're saying and what some of our other guests have said, you know, it's not, I mean, there's so many different ways to enjoy collecting football cards. And that's just one genre of collecting memorabilia to connect to football. You're crossing over into some of those other ones with some of the trinkets and the bottle caps and all that. But you just talked about, it's fun for you to connect to the players and put all these teams together, starting, from the rookies, and now all the players. And, Bob's talking about, the legends and, hey, here's the year I grew, I was born. Here's the players that were in there and collecting teams and things like that. That's fun. And, the investors and the flippers and, busting open a blaster box and trying to find, some values, almost like, a lottery scratch off is what I would equate that to. That's got fun in its own thing. And you have a different sort of euphoria. And there's probably umpteen other different ways to do that. But I guess in team collecting, what's maybe some advice and some tips that you can give to somebody that's just starting out on this journey?
So I think the biggest thing is if, say, you have a favorite team, you want to collect the Steelers or whoever it may be. I think the big thing to focus in on is really kind of siloing in on certain players or years that you want to collect. You kind of hit on that a little bit with a birth year or maybe a championship year. Say if you're interested in the Steelers, you want to collect the 78 or 79 set that relates to their Super Bowl 13 or 14 wins. Or if you're a more modern collector, you're looking at maybe the 2005 cards because that it tells the story of Super Bowl 40. But really kind of focusing on your favorite players or certain years is a great way to start. I've fallen victim to the shotgun approach sometimes where you just want to try to spray and get a little bit of everything. And I will tell you that that's not as effective as you think it is. It is fun to see different cards, but I think it's really kind of trying to, at least in the beginning, silo yourself a little bit, understand what you're looking at and say, okay, this is where I want to go. And then as you kind of get more into it and figure out your lanes, then you can start to branch out a little bit and say, okay, well, maybe I want to do a master set. I don't want to just do all the regular cards. I want to look for autographs or jersey cards, whatever it may be. But if you start out a little bit smaller and work your way up, you'll definitely find more success in collecting, at least in my opinion.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So we've been using this, sort of the Steelers as an example. Let's maybe go to a different team and maybe you can give some pointers. Let's say we have a young Seattle Seahawks fan. They just won a Super Bowl, won their second Super Bowl. So they've got some, a handful of really good seasons to choose from. They have some legends or a shorter history, what are they, 40, maybe almost 50 years in the NFL. Where would somebody do, let's say they wanted to start off with that, the 2014 team that won their first Super Bowl, or was that 2014? Somewhere in there they won. Or
around,
maybe 2014 is when they lost the Patriots. I guess, but 2013 when they won the Super Bowl.
Their title teams. Yeah, their title.
Right, yeah, right. So let's say they wanted to start off in that first title year. Where would you recommend they go? Maybe some strategy tips, some things like that.
So I think the first thing to do is you want to try to make a list of this somehow. The best way to do it, and again, my opinion, and this is how I've chose to do it, is looking at the roster of that team. So taking all the players from that team, and I still like to write stuff out if I can. So if you're looking at that 2014 team, you would say you want Russell Wilson, you want Bobby Wagner, you want Richard Sherman, all the stars. And if you want to work your way down to the more...
You got to get a beast mode in there too.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll send you a beast mode. If you're collecting the Seahawks, I'll send you a beast mode card. But if you're really looking to get that, I think starting with that roster is a good place to do it. And then also deciding too, and this is one thing that I think team collectors waver on a little bit, is deciding if you want to collect players just in their specific uniform of the team that you want to collect. Obviously, a guy like Marshawn Lynch, you bring up a great point, is Marshawn Lynch's rookie cards are in his Bills uniform. So if you want to collect his rookie cards, you'll have to make that exception to say, well, yeah, I want his rookie card, but I have to have him in a different uniform. Some folks don't mind that. Some folks want to just say, hey, I'm a Seahawks fan. I'm just going to do him in his Seahawks uniform. There's no wrong way to do it. But if you kind of research, and there's great places that you can look into these cards too. I'm a big eBay user. And eBay can be dangerous too, because eBay is a little bit of that shotgun approach where you just see stuff and you want to buy. But also too, a great way to make a list of cards that you may want or looking at specific years is Trading Card Database, which is tcdb.com. That's a great place. If you just type in Seattle Seahawks, you can filter by team and then filter by year. And you can see a good number of these cards from specific years if you wanted to do 2013 or 2014. It's a great place to start because it gives you a little bit of an angle and you can see which sets and cards might interest you the most.
Yeah, it's a really cool site too. You can actually see an image of the card front and back, so you sort of know what you're looking for. If you're going to go to your local card shop or go to a swap meet or something and you're going to flip through the boxes, at least you sort of know what you're looking, the color scheme and everything, which is really handy. And maybe it was one that catches your eye and say, hey, I have a Troy Aikman rookie card, and it's not even in his Dallas uniform. It's actually in his UCLA uniform. Mm-hmm. So, might throw some shocks there too, because they used to do that quite a bit. I think they still do that, mm-hmm. Put them in their college uniforms.
Well, and I can tell you too, in modern collecting, it is very overwhelming with some of these new sets, and I'm sure you'll get into it with some of your investors. But when you're talking about prism and optic sets that are more new age, you're talking about 25 parallels, 30 parallels in the same set. Mm-hmm. And that's one way you can team collect is if you want to collect a certain parallel of all the players in that set. But it is very overwhelming if you're going to try to do everybody in every parallel. So it's nice to kind of have an idea of what's coming out in each set and specific players or years that you want to collect, because it narrows that focus. It's if you see all the new releases that come out every year, you're just going to be overwhelmed and you're going to want out.
Yeah, that's a great point. Now let's say we got somebody that's maybe it's a young person, or maybe somebody that doesn't have a huge income, but they want to start collecting in a certain year. Is there a certain year, is it like 5 years back or something, 10 years back, to sort of that sweet spot for cost savings where somebody might want to have an entry level of collecting?
I think one of the things with entry level collecting is that collecting doesn't have to be expensive. And you can really go back to the 70s even, I think, and be a little cost effective with it. You might give up some condition whenever it comes to those cards. You might have ones that have more like chips or creases in them. But just to say that you have the card for $1 or $2 is sometimes worth it. And in my opinion, sometimes those cards even tell a better story because they have been loved and somebody had this and probably handled it a lot and really loved it. So in some ways, that's almost a little bit better. For people in the modern age, of course, you can always choose to collect the base sets of cards, which is always going to be more cost effective. But in some cases, it may not be as interesting. So you really want to try to stay on those cheaper parallels, maybe cards that aren't numbered. If you look on the back or sometimes now on the front of cards, there's a lot of times on those reflective cards or parallel cards, there's numbers on them numbered to 500, 100, 50, 25. Obviously, as you go lower down, those serial numbers are going to get more expensive. So just looking at trying to find cards that might catch your eye, I think that's a fun place to start for young collectors. Especially if you're jumping into it now, say as a Seahawks fan, you can look for the Sam Darnold cards or Jackson Smith and Jigba being one of their probably biggest stars. You can find a lot of his cards and they're much more readily available as these players are bigger stars in the league too.
Okay. Yeah. Great points on all that stuff. Now, what about if you're a team collector, I know you do it, but do you suggest folks go to just staying to one brand of cards or going to go to multiple cards? Or, I know like Steelers cards, I have cards that were promotional items like Giant Eagle supermarkets handed out cards, gas stations handed out cards during the 70s of players. How does all that fall into your team collecting?
So I actually, I have a Troy Polamalu card from the United Way that was distributed in like 2006. And it's just one of those cards, to your point, that I saw, and it was like $2. And I said, well, I'm crazy if I don't spend $2 on that. I've never seen one. So it's unique. It's fun. It's fun to have. But if you stay within those certain brands, you'll find that there are limitations sometimes. So for instance, Topps being the main producer of football cards from the late 60s through 2015, there are no Topps football cards with logos from 2016 through 2025. There are some new Topps cards, but you'll notice that the team logos aren't on there. So if you stay within a brand, there are sometimes limitations. And I know people that actually collect specifically Topps Steelers cards. A good friend of mine is a Topps Super Steelers collector, I would say. And he says he only has about 10% left of all the Topps Steelers cards ever made, which sounds crazy, but I believe him. But if you use whatever approach you choose to use, just be mindful of spending and don't feel like you have to collect everything. That is a big piece of advice I would give to new collectors, is you don't need every card, because again, that's a great way to price yourself out of the hobby. If you like specific brands, whether that be Topps or Panini or Fleer, you can absolutely choose to do those. For me, I want to build the base sets of these teams. So much like Bob talked about on the previous episode, I want to build the Steeler sets for each of the years. But I'm also captivated by sometimes, like we said, the fun cards or the cards with great photography on them. If you go back to the Stadium Club cards of the mid-90s, that's some of the best photography you'll see on cards. So it really just comes down to what you like, what you can afford, and what's available.
Interesting. Great advice. So I guess, you know, is that maybe a good strategy? You probably said it, and maybe I missed it because we were talking about a bunch of different things. But if they take those team cards, let's say, go back to the Seahawks example. If they say, you know, 2013, and that's your strategy, stay focused, get all those 2013 cards of Topps, you know, I get Topps would have been making them at that time. Get all those. Okay, then expand off of that and move on to the next one. Is that a good strategy, or is there some other strategy they should be looking at?
Yeah, I think going year by year is a great way to do it. And I think one of the most helpful things that you can do as a collector is really know exactly what you're looking for. And that's where we kind of get into the trading card database and really kind of honing in on it. So if you say specifically to yourself, I just want to collect 2013 Seahawks cards or top Seahawks cards, if you can make yourself a list, it is very helpful to see those lists, either if you use a spreadsheet online to see those lists dwindle in time, or if you have a physical written list to see the lines through them. That is a very good way to keep yourself on track. And really kind of, it makes it real, I think is the best way I can say it. I did something very similar with my Steelers collection, where I would keep a list of all the players that I still needed. And I counted it all the time. I'd get two guys and I would say, oh, now I'm down to 50 or I'm down to 40. And it keeps it real for you. So if you want to go year by year or just specific, however you would look at that, yeah, I think that's a great strategy, is a way to really kind of start off.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Okay, we talked about the trading card database. They also have lists on there available, and you can keep track of it. You sign in, and you can check off your list online. So if you don't want to carry a piece of paper around with you and you're going to a local card show or dealer, you can just pull it up on your phone and look at it that way. I download, you know, PDFs from the trading card database on some of my sets and look at it. Like Bob suggested the other day, don't actually take the checklist card and start checking things on that, because that'll devalue that immediately when you do that. But that's just another option the trading card database helps you out in.
Yeah, and I think it is very helpful, like we both mentioned, to have that list of what you're looking for and what you need, because that is the best way to keep yourself honest. It is easy if you're just looking around to get distracted by the next shiny card, or if you go to a card show or a card shop, you see a card that catches your eye and you say, oh, I want to buy that. But if you have that list in mind and you can really discipline yourself to say, I have to stick to the 2013 Seahawks or Steelers rookies or the 85 Bears, whoever it may be that you want to collect, that's a good way to keep yourself honest and on track.
Interesting. All right, let's take another aspect of team collecting. Now, what are some suggestions or maybe some tips on storage and display of your teams? You know, you want to enjoy them, you want to show them to folks. You know, it's a, you can do, what tips and advice do you have on those?
So I think it depends on obviously your space. I mean, everybody's going to be different on how they can do that. So there are ways within the easiest way to kind of have them all in one space is those 5,000 count boxes. That's a great way to keep them all together. But sometimes if you stray from the path a little bit, we've talked about like my Coke caps. Those don't store the same as a trading card. For those who may not be familiar, it literally is a Coke cap from the 60s that would have been on a bottle of Coke and you flipped it off and there's a player on the bottom of it. So they don't store the same as cards. So finding a box that you can kind of put these in, I still subscribe sometimes to the shoebox method. Maybe that's not the best way, but it is a way to kind of keep them all together. And I think one of the best ways to do it is label your stuff and know what's in what box, because that way you can, again, it keeps you honest. It keeps you in the know of what you have in a specific box, in a specific area. Now there are also two, and I use them for a lot of my pictures that I use on social media. There are actually little card stands that you can buy too. And it's just a piece of plastic and you flip a little thing over, lock it in place, and you can sit your cards up on it. That's a fun way to display your cards. And I think that cards just shouldn't sit in a box. So even though I store mine typically in a box, I like to pull them out and look at them because that's how they're meant to be enjoyed and read a little bit about them. Because how else would you know unless you read the back of the cards that in the 1940s and the 1950s, these guys had other jobs
whenever yeah, right.
playing football. Or now you get to learn. I actually have a card that I just got, a quick story. It's a Troy Polamalu card from 2014, I believe. And on the back of the card, it talks about the National Aviary in Pittsburgh. And it says it's home to this many species of birds, but the one ball hawk that you'll not see there but lurks in Pittsburgh is Troy Polamalu. they try to make it fun on some of these new cards and be a little witty on the back of them. So pull your cards out and enjoy them because that's how they're meant to be. And then obviously when you have cards in your boxes or your storage boxes, always make sure they're sleeved and top loaded. That is one of the biggest things. Do not just let them sit loose. If you want to keep those cards nice, the little penny sleeves that are just a thin sheet of plastic, stick them in there, put them in that top loader, and you're good to go. That is the only way that I will store cards. And if you get to some of those other interesting items that are a little bit different size, they make like ticket holders, or you can find little small holders that will hold the Coke caps or other odd-shaped items, but always make sure you're sleeved and top-loaded.
Yeah, interesting. I guess there's maybe a new method too, which I've just recently come aware of. We have some folks that I work with have got 3D printers, and they have been making storage cases for all kinds of different collectibles that are right to size. And you can probably go on Etsy or one of those kind of places and give the dimensions of what you want. Actually, I had one of my friends make them for my tops, my 69 top super cards, which are, you know, they're a much bigger card. They don't make, they make sleeves for them. They're hard to find, but they don't, there's not like storage cases to protect them. So I actually had one made and, you know, for top super card, actually I got it sitting right here. So, you know, it's right
oh,
here.
That's,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
very cool.
Yeah, I just get, makes a lot of noise when you open it up, but it's airtight and everything, but it's kind of cool and it keeps the card safe and kind of neat.
No, that's actually a great way to do it. So I think what you're suggesting is have friends that have cool stuff that you can buy off of. They do have cases that you can put, you know, say graded cards in. I believe Zion is one of the names of the brands that you can buy that has some of like the more high-end cases. I don't know if you have to go quite that big for just starting off, but you can always find different storage options. And talking to your local card shops or local card dealers is a great way to learn about some of those as well.
Yeah, interesting. Good stuff. All right. So I guess let's shift gears a little bit. So you've been, you're real close, or you have you reached all the Steelers players as of?
Yes.
20?
All
okay.
1,694, I think, wow, is the actual number as of now.
Okay. So where you've reached that pinnacle, you've reached a goal. Where, what direction do you go from there? You know, where's Ryan going with his collecting on cards?
So one thing that's very nice about this method of collecting, when saying I just want to collect the rookie cards of every person who's put on a team uniform, is that collection can never stop because there will always be new players. So I'm thankful that next year we're going to draft 10 to 12 guys. We're going to sign 10 free agents. We're going to have a couple guys from the practice squad come up that are going to stress me out because their cards are rare. But that's the enjoyment of it, is that there will always be something new to find and collect. But also kind of looking reflectively a little bit, because I do want to continue to honor the history of the teams. Similar to what Bob had mentioned on your show about collecting the full sets, I just want to try to collect the Steelers from each of those sets. Going back to 48 Bowman, 48 Leaf, and then kind of working my way up. When you get into the 90s and the 2000s, there are so many releases and it is so overwhelming, but you don't have to do all of them. I do have some favorite sets from those years that I would probably look to complete by themselves. But again, like I said earlier, don't stress yourself out. If you want to do something similar to this, just be mindful of that. So I always have something to look forward to with new players, but I can also be reflective and find some of those old guys and continue to tell their stories as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Love what you're doing. It's a great way to collect and have fun doing it. And we really enjoy that you share it with us, both in your social media and on your Substack. I guess, why don't we take the opportunity? Why don't you tell folks where they can find you?
Absolutely. So my handle on pretty much every social media is 304 Collector Corner, and the logo looks a little bit like a Steelers logo with my name in there. You can find me on Facebook or X, Instagram, Blue Sky, Substack, TikTok, a little bit of everywhere. So whatever social media you choose to find, I'm there. You can find me. And also, too, for anybody who's listening to this and you have questions about cards, just send me a message. I'm always happy to kind of help guide you with whatever you have, whether it's trying to pick a lane or trying to help find cards. If you need somebody who is looking for cards, I actually have a friend, if you're a Seahawks collector, I have a really good friend who owns a card shop out in Washington State. So he's probably got an influx right now and he's probably bombarded, but we can find connections. That's the great thing about this hobby, is there's always people out there. So if you have questions, always feel free to reach out to me.
All right, Ryan. Well, we really appreciate you coming here and helping us on our project, and good luck on your projects, and help. And thank you for helping us preserve football history.
Thank you, Darren. I appreciate it so much.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Sports History Network, where legends live on and the past plays loud. Welcome to the place where history's proud, from gridiron glory to the hardwood stars, from the racetrack heat to Olympic bars. It's the voices, the stories, the moments you miss, told by fans and pros who live for this. Hook and Thimmick, the Sports History Network, where the past comes alive, podcasts and blogs that keep the flame high, from Babe to Brady, Alley to the Dome. If it's history and sports, then this is the home. SportsHistoryNetwork.com, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.